Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Waxak, and today we'll be learning Parsha Ki Tete. Ki Tete continues our exploration of the mitzvah section of Sefer Dvarim. Ki Tete, with its more than 70 mitzvot, contains more mitzvot than any other Parsha in the entire Torah. The Parshot of the coming weeks will grow more general and focus more on the sealing of the covenantal relationship with Hashem, and less on detailed halachic exhortations. The parsha opens with the laws of an Isha Yifat Tohar, a foreign woman that a soldier wishes to marry, and the protocol for doing so. It continues with the Ben Sorer Mor, the rebellious child who at a young age shows such reprehensible behavior that we execute him. It continues with a variety of laws on subjects like compassion towards animals, the requirement to help an animal in distress, to send a mother bird away before taking its eggs, the prohibition on yoking animals of different types together, laws that focus on human dignity, such as the requirement to bury those executed, the prohibition on non-gender conforming behavior, the requirement to return lost objects, the need to fence off open roofs, the prohibition on lashon hara, the requirement to wear tzitzit on four-cornered garments, and the prohibition of shatnez, and the laws that govern sexual propriety, like the prohibitions on adultery, rape, forbidden sexual relationships, prohibition on prostitution, among others. It continues with the laws of war, and then a series of laws governing how we handle money between people. Things like interest-free loans, laws of collateral, the requirement to pay promptly, the requirement to keep honest weights and measures, as well as general exhortations of how to take care of the socially vulnerable. We're not allowed to return escaped slaves, caring for widows and orphans, and all of this is in remembrance of our own slavery in Egypt. The laws of Levirate marriage, or Yibam as it's known, and Parshat Zachor round out the Parsha. 2 weeks ago in Parsha Re'eh, we focused on the national requirements to build our society. Last week in Parsha Shoftim, we focused on leadership and its attendant requirements. This week in Parsha Ki Tete, we encounter a long list of mitzvot that each individual needs to keep. These laws are the way in which we as individuals will build the society that Moshe is showing us the potential for. Yes, societies require institutions, like we learned about in Parsha Re'eh, such as the Mikdash and the Sanhedrin. Yes, these institutions need leaders, like those we learned about in Sefer Shoftim, to steer and to guide them. But those are not enough. Moshe is telling us in this Parsha that institutions are hollow without individuals committed to their principles. The laws in this week's Parsha create a web of behaviors that each individual within the nation can do to create the ideal society being laid out within the book. It tells us that it is in virtue of the adherence to the law by individuals that aggregate into societies. Together we become a whole that is greater than the sum of our parts. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman has a fascinating approach to the structure of Dvarim that shed light on the mitzvot contained within our parsha. He explains that the entire mitzvah section of Dvarim is correlated to the Aser HaDibrot, as if the Dibrot are the principles and the rest of Dvarim is providing an elucidation. Vetchanan and Ekev are part of the mitzvah section that deals with matters of faith, corresponding to the first two Dibrot about belief in Hashem and His unity. Not taking Hashem's name in vain, the third Dibra, is expounded on in the laws of the Mikdash, where we establish Hashem's name and the commandments to execute individuals or groups who deny Hashem's name. The commandment to observe Shabbat, the fourth commandment, is reflected in the laws of the holidays, which are days dedicated to Hashem, and the laws of Shemitah, which is a sabbatical over 7 years, like Shabbat is a sabbatical on the seventh day. And this is what we see within Parsha Re'eh. Honoring one's parents creates the framework of establishing national leadership. The prohibition on murder translates into the laws of war, prohibitions on murder and requirements for capital punishment, as we saw in Parshat Shoftim. This leaves the last four Dibrot to be corresponded to within our Parsha, and we see all these laws reflected within the diversity of our Parsha. The laws relating to sexual impropriety reflect the prohibition on adultery in the Aseret HaDibrot. The laws relating to respecting private property and honoring vows connect to the prohibition on thievery, as well as a host of laws that can be connected to the prohibition on coveting, not taking from a neighbor's field, not remarrying an ex-wife, etc. Altogether, Dvarim is showing us how to apply the ideals of the Aseret HaDibrot into practical actions that shape our society and ourselves. The mitzvah within our parsha coalesce into several areas that each teach us a key message about the society we are seeking to form. The forms that the action take, those create the philosophies that we live by. The first set of mitzvot in our parsha highlight the complexities inherent within mitzvot. As Rav Aaron Lichtenstein tells us, quote, "Whereas other mitzvot reflect a clear and explicit distinction between the permissible and the prohibited, between that which is commanded and that which is to be avoided, between good and bad, our parsha presents a number of situations where the decision could be problematic, where a person could be faced with a moral dilemma, like for example with the Ben Sora Mor. On the one hand, the parents have a natural desire to have pity on him. On the other hand, they are responsible for educating him in the true sense of the word, even to the point of being obligated to stone him. Even the hanging of the corpse has two aspects to it. On one hand, we abhor the sin, and for this reason the person is hanged. On the other hand, respect for the dead is also a consideration, and therefore the corpse is not left overnight. We are charged with the responsibility of sensing these contrasts and understanding where the divine wisdom draws a sometimes fine line between the permissible and the forbidden," end quote. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is pointing out that mitzvot represent ideals of behavior, but that in the real world, sometimes those ideals compete with each other. The halachic system teaches us to navigate the complex trade-offs. This is highlighted for us by the first batch of mitzvot in the parsha, from executing someone and displaying the body, but only till nightfall, to executing a young man whose dangerous behaviors are merely a precursor to what he might do in the future. Halacha guides us in making these decisions. Principles such as the Aser HaDibrot are critical. However, the key to living a halachic life is knowing when and how to apply these principles. Another set of mitzvot are the ones about respecting the order that Hashem has instituted within the world. The Ramban explains that the number of the chukim are designed to teach us about the integrity of the natural world. Laws like the prohibition on kelayim, whether it's mixing species or animals or plants or garments, or yoking different types of animals together, violate the natural laws that we as God's servants are bound to respect. A third key message within our parsha is the importance of respecting the feelings of others, even of animals. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim explains that the reason we are commanded to send away a mother bird before gathering the eggs from the nest is to teach us to show concern for animals, and we will therefore adduce that the same standard should apply to humans. This connects to the notion of ritual slaughter that is quick and painless. The theme of compassion continues with many of the laws of lending money in a way that is kind and compassionate, as well as the exhortation to care for widows, orphans, and slaves. The basis of the prohibition on charging interest to Jews is the notion that we are family, supported by use of the term brother in the psukim. Even the laws of Yibam are about showing compassion to a dead brother by allowing his name to be continued. We are taught to lead with compassion in how we treat all, from animals to fellow Jews. The final key I want to discuss today is found in the Sefer HaChinuch's discussion of the legal requirement to put a gate around a dangerous area, like an accessible roof. The Sefer HaChinuch reads this mitzvah as a fascinating balance of belief in the Hashgacha of Hashem, divine providence, and the need for Hishtadlut, human effort. Even though Hashem controls what happens to us, af al pi kein, tzarech ha'adam lishmor atzmo min ha'mikrim hanuhugim ba'olam. Nonetheless, a person is required to watch over himself from things that naturally happen in the world. Ki akel bara olamo upna'o al yisudot amudei ha'teva. Because God created the world, and God built it on natural causality. Al kein titzaveinu ha'Torah, and that is why the Torah commands us, lishmor mishkanotenu umikomotenu, to guard our dwelling places, lebal yikrenu mavet b'psheinu, so that death will not happen because of our sins, v'lo nisakein nashotenu al smach hanes, and we should not endanger our souls by relying on miracles. This principle, that faith must be accompanied by tangible physical effort, undergirds many of the laws within our parsha. We are commanded to act, even as we acknowledge that the world is controlled by Hashem. This specifically connects with the final mitzvah of our parsha, the commandment to remember what Amalek has done to us. Amalek stands for the notion of mikra, of randomness. They seek to obscure our identity within history. Their argument is that the Jews aren't chosen, they were lucky. Rashi, commenting on the words, Asher karchacha baderech, who happens upon you on the way, quotes the Medrash Tanchuma. Tzavar acher, lashon kor vachom. Another interpretation is that the word asher karchacha is a language of cold, core, and hot. Sinencha v'hivshircha merchitratcha, that made you cold and lukewarm from all your boiling. Shehayu kol ha'umot yireim lihilachem bachem, that all the nations were scared to fight against you. U'bazeh v'hitchil v'her'em makom l'acherem, and this nation came and pointed away to the others. Mash'al la'amati rotachat, she'en kol b'riya yechola lirid b'tocha, a parable to a boiling hot bath that no living creature could descend into. Ba ben b'li'al achad, and one low life came. Kafatz v'yarad l'tocha, and he came and he jumped into the tub. Af api she'nikva, hekara uta b'fnei acherim. Even though he burned himself, he made it appear cold to others. I've always thought there was something interesting about the mashal in the Midrash. When something or someone enters a boiling pot, they don't necessarily appreciably change the temperature. What they do is make the bubbles disappear. As Rashi says, "Hekara utau b'fnei acherim," they made it appear cool to others. When Amalek attacked, they didn't change who the Jewish people were, or their relationship with Hashem, or their chosenness. They just made it harder for others to see. This final principle within our parsha is to recognize that Hashem runs the world, yet we live within it. We must do our hashtadlut, as is required by the mitzvot, but never let our efforts obscure that Hashem runs the world and is the ultimate cause. We need to make sure to wipe out the ideas that Amalek represent. We are inheritors of a glorious tradition. The Torah teaches us how to create a godly society that balances values, respects the natural world, has compassion, and lives a natural yet godly life. But for that to happen, we each have to keep the mitzvot, which build this within our life. We can't count on institutions or leaders to set the tone and transform us. We need to do it. And via our adherence to halacha, we are transformed and can then be transforming of the world around us. In doing this, we can truly be Hashem's people and wipe the ideas of Amalek from the world and usher in Mashiach. Have a wonderful Shabbat.